Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire, your number one source for patriotic truth.
Authority.
Connor.
With a pen.
Ryan. Sean. Today we're going to talk to you guys about Ambassador Sondland's testimony.
It's over.
On day three of the...
No, excuse me, day five. Or yesterday was day four.
Day four of the impeachment inquiry.
They're all blending together.
Time flies when you're having fun.
And we're also going to go ahead and recap the debates, the Democratic debates from last night. Let us know what you think below. Please comment. Do you think Sondland's testimony damned or exonerated Trump? Let us know. Or did it do both? Because that's how it kind of seemed. Please comment below. Also, if you haven't already, like the video, share it if you will. And if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please subscribe to the channel and hit the notifications button. Also, if you want a little bit more insight into the way we think here at Freedom Wire and what we're all about, or if you'd like to go to Freedom Wire and buy some of this snazzy gear or drink some of these...
Snazzy cups?
Well, drink out of the snazzy cups. I was going to say drink some liberal tears out of your cup. Or hot or cold.
They're hot and dark tears.
Hot or cold.
It's like they're sold.
Please go to freedomwire.com. If you want to read our stuff, just go ahead to the front page. But if you want to buy our stuff, go to the store tab at the top of the page. All right, gents.
It's over. Trump should just resign.
I mean,
come on.
That's not the impression I got.
No. That's if you watch the morning media coverage. I mean, Schiff basically went out. I always call him Schiff.
You do.
Schiff. I don't know why. It just seems like
because it's Shifty Schiff.
He is Shifty Schiff. Anyway, he went out in. He called a recess to go out and basically proclaim that it was over for Trump.
Well, what I love was what is when they came back in and
Nunes
goes, make no mistake, that wasn't a break. That was just a way for the Democrats to hold a press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which it was.
And here's the thing. Going into that break, I got to admit, I was a little nervous.
Right. And I listened to it pretty much all day. I was waiting, because when he came out and said this was a quid pro quo or whatever, blah, 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 I was waiting for him to say Trump told him to do this or whatever. But as you all probably know by now, he never actually told him that explicitly. Matter of fact, the only thing that Donald Trump, president...
Wait, save that for later.
Okay.
Let's talk about the morning.
Okay. Well, all right.
Let's talk
It was a tale of hearing. It was the same hearing, but...
Different ideas or views from the same man. If you listen to it before the break, before that first break... You heard a guy that seemed like he was selling Trump down the river. He was saying there was a quid pro quo. He was saying...
Because he really was. He was trying to. It was obvious. It seemed to me that he was trying to sell.
Seemed like before the break, he stuck to all the main Democrat talking points and just said kind of what they were hoping to hear.
Now, do you guys listen to Mark Levin?
Of course.
Did you listen to him last night?
I didn't. Not last night, no.
Did you know that the four lawyers that were with Ambassador Sondland were all four major donors to the Democrat Party?
No, that's not surprising. That Goldman, that guy that's been doing the questioning for the council for the Democrats, hates Trump. It's pretty well known. So
yeah, so it's like, and that guy fell flat on his face.
He did good a couple of times. Objectively, I don't agree with him.
Yeah, but that opening statement, at no point did he say what he said later in the afternoon.
No, because then he finally started getting some pushback and some real questions. Matter of fact, even the Democrats at the end of the day were kind of getting pissed too. They're like, why did it take three times to like say this? Like,
Sean Maloney?
They got a little heated exchange here, the Democrat from Maloney. And of course, I think Turner of Ohio has been doing an excellent job too, and he pointed out the inconsistencies in his statements throughout the day, and basically he said after all this you got nothing. It's basically what he said can I go to the because this is really key. This is the most important takeaway that the media was trying to ignore yesterday. So the only thing Trump told Sondland talked about
Sondland asked him, what do you want?
Right. And Trump says, I want nothing.
I want no quid pro quo.
Right.
I want the man to do what's right.
Yeah, Zelensky.
And I want him to do what he ran on.
Right.
That was it.
But that wasn't leading in the media this morning. If you read the headlines, it was.
But that was that right there. Those two sentences.
Yeah.
What do you want? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. End of hearing.
I mean, basically, Trump saying, I want nothing. I just want him to do what's right. Mm-hmm. Is basically the entire point we've been trying to make the entire time. Like, he wasn't looking to benefit from this. He just was trying to fight corruption. When it happens to come back on Biden, yeah, sure, that's a happy little side thing there, but that wasn't the point.
Well, the other thing that was, it was his impression. He kept saying over and over, this was my impression that that was what Trump wanted because of Giuliani. He said to work with Rudy or whatever.
And even he even said Giuliani never said anything about defensive or offensive military aid.
So it seems like it's this meeting more than the aid that seems
to be the quid pro quo.
If there was one.
If there is any quid pro quo, the quid pro quo is a meeting at the White House for them announcing investigations into Burisma, not Biden's, into Burisma. That was it. There wasn't that. If there's a quid pro quo, that is it.
And again, we got to go back to this, is that it was a legitimate concern, and it still is, the Burisma and then the Bidens.
Here, can we just be thankful? Because here's what's going to happen. They're not going to be able to ignore the Hunter Biden connection now.
Yeah, there's a development in that story,
what this is doing, what the Dems probably didn't realize they were doing, is they're sinking Biden's ship. Joe Biden's ship is going to be sunk by the end of this because his son and him are tied to the Ukraine. Now, that's the Republicans have done a wonderful job of continuing to bring Joe Biden or Hunter Biden up with everything that's being talked about.
Just like in 2016, they're basically making Trump's campaign commercials for him. He doesn't need to spend all this money on advertising when he can just play footage of Joe Biden saying he pressured the Ukrainians and show ads of them, you know, throwing him these softball questions of, well, we know it's false, so what do you have to say to that? Like, they're making the commercials for him, because all he has to do, if he's running against Biden, which, let's face it, he probably will be, he just has to put those out there, and that will be sufficient to sink Biden, I think.
Mm. Well, time will tell. I don't know, because you kind of got me thinking, because I was like, Biden, doesn't matter what happens to him, he's still leading all the national polls.
Right now.
Yeah, but right, I'm just now. Saying, you would have thought by now, I would have thought
but that what I mean is tied in here. What I mean is about not being able to ignore, I mean, they're not going to be ignored not doing anything. Congress or somebody is going to have to look into this now. They can't just leave this huge, you know, rotten apple on this table. They have to do something about it. They're not going to be able to just wait around for it. And it's probably going to hit, if I was going to guess, I would say this whole Burisma Biden investigation, Hunter Biden, not Joe Biden, is going to hit probably around June of next year.
Why June? Curious.
Perfect timing.
Oh, you think it'd be a political thing?
It's not going to be a political thing. Well, it'll be convenient timing for the right. But it'll be basically them doing the because here's the thing. If this whole process can teach the right about anything, it is have your evidence and research done before you accuse somebody of something.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're the Democrats and you just put the cart in front of the horses.
Well,
you can backtrack and find the evidence later. Once you convict them in the court of public opinion, it's pretty easy to go back on that.
Well, that's the whole thing they've been doing. This why they want his tax returns. They don't want to know what they're looking for, but they're just.
And what I liked about the Jim Jordan saying to Ambassador Sondland, why didn't you put this in your opening statement? You didn't want it to be a minute longer? Because that's all he would have had to say.
What do you think was up with Sondland yesterday? I have my theories.
Well, okay, so...
Because it was a tale of two Sondlands, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like... After reading some more stuff today, what I might think is he might be feeling pressure. Both political pressure and economic pressure, because people started protesting and boycotting his businesses while protesting him and his family. So the left, if anything, are great at intimidating people. So I think might have happened is I think Sondland got a little nervous. Like, I think he got some people telling him some things, and he kind of wanted to play ball. But like everything in this world, what starts out in darkness will end up in the light. That is written a few times in the Bible. But I think I quoted that today. I think it's Luke 8:17. Don't quote me on that. I don't know. But is what has been done in the darkness is now will be brought into the light. And that's what happened with this Sondland testimony yesterday. It was like all the shifty stuff was in the beginning, but as the day progressed and the questions came from Republicans, the truth came out.
And also, he kept hiding behind, I don't have all my notes because the State Department won't let me have all my notes. But these are some big details that he should, it's amazing what he can remember and what he can't remember. Always cracks me up about people, especially in these kind of settings. Like, he was imprecise and it was easy to attack him because you're like, well, what did you say to Trump or whatever? You know, like, stuff like that. Well, I don't really remember. If that was such an important conversation, don't you think you'd remember what you said to the president? Like, I'm just like, did he let you talk? I was like, just little stuff like that, and it was able to easy to pick them apart. But again, we still have not heard that Donald Trump, because this is about him, he is the president.
This is about impeachment.
It's not about Rudy Giuliani, it's not about Ambassador Sondland, it's not about Mick Mulvaney, it's about Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States. And we have not had any confirmation or any direct evidence of him ordering a withholding of the aid so he can investigate Joe Biden for political reasons. Still none. And the only thing we know that they claim that he said is that he wanted nothing and no quid pro quo.
But here's something that the left, I don't think they realize they're doing by doing this. By saying an investigation into Burisma is an investigation into Biden, because this is what they're saying. They're saying that it's getting dirt on a political opponent. Are they admitting?
They're tying Biden to Burisma?
I mean, that's basically what they're doing.
Yeah.
Even if Joe Biden personally was not tied to Burisma, which it's possible he wasn't, but it kind of looks like he was a little bit, at the very least. But by saying it so many times over and over again, they're accidentally constructing a narrative that makes it seem like he was.
Yeah.
Because we've seen countless times with this sort of thing. If you say it enough times, it becomes true in public opinion, even if it's not true in fact. So what we're going to end up with is every time you think about Burisma, you're going to think about Joe Biden.
And the fact that they both start with B is...
But the alliteration is
nice. I keep saying Biden when it's Hunter Biden. I'm thinking Hunter Biden, but you don't think... When you think Biden, you don't think the name Hunter Biden. You think the name Joe Biden.
Hunter Biden has enough problems of his own, but it seems like these keep falling back on Papa Biden as well.
Yeah, apparently he should be on Maury Povich too. But anyway, that's another story.
You are the father.
Yeah. Look up that story. Anyway, so that basically what I've heard multiple witnesses say, I think it was like Volker and... there's so many witnesses. Volker was definitely one of them. He didn't associate the Burisma with Biden's as per se. Like that, so that's an important detail that the media keeps overlooking, is that because they didn't associate it with the Bidens necessarily, and they were, and again, it was not for a long time that they even like contemplated that it could have been tied to those investigations, be tied to funding. So, and again, another key detail media also likes to overlook is that the first time that we were aware that Zelensky had broached it with the United States, anybody in the U.S. government, that the investigations were important to the United States, was when he talked to the Vice President Pence in Poland. That was the first time that we have any evidence that he said, hey, what's up with the funding? And that was, the phone call was July 25th, again, the now famous phone call. That so that's a long time after again, and to, unless they knew explicitly there had pressure being put on them, to, how is this even a story?
And we saw this yesterday. It's been going on for the entire impeachment process, but it was especially big with Sondland's testimony because he kept saying it. The only thing they're willing to say as an absolute fact is that Trump is guilty. Everything else is I believe, I presume. I guessed, in my opinion.
2 + 2 = 4.
They're trying to rationalize everything, but they won't dwell in absolutes except for the fact that the conclusion that you need the evidence to get to, they're skipping over that. Like, okay, this is the absolute truth. We're not sure about any of the ways that got us to it.
Yeah. There is no absolute truth. I'll tell you what the absolute truth is. The absolute truth is there was no quid pro quo for any offensive military aid.
And Journey,
that's the absolute truth.
Journey would be proud of Sondland, who did not stop believing at any point. He just kept saying, I believed. I believed he said this. I believe this was implied when Giuliani had a conversation with me. He couldn't give any absolute facts.
And here's the thing. Not many people can. Think about what you had for lunch last week. What did you have for lunch Wednesday?
Salad, I believe.
Exactly,
I believe.
You believe. Yeah. What did you have for lunch?
I don't remember, but I also didn't have lunch with President Trump.
Yeah. No, but
that was the reason I said that. If I was talking to the President of the United States, you damn well I would remember and what
I
said.
I'm pretty sure I had a salad, but I am also 100% sure that I didn't have a burrito.
Right.
You know, like I can remember at least the vague thing about it that I can tell you what didn't happen.
I can tell. Here's one for you, Ryan. What was the first article you wrote this morning?
Oh, we do this all the time. Actually, this is what we call a transition. I wrote about the Democratic debate last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Oh, should we talk about that?
Yes, we should.
Oh, okay. It's almost like we planned.
Let's put the Sondland baby to bed and move on towards...
2 + 2 = 4. Anyway, I could go on about that. That's a good... I forgot about that line. Anyway.
Yeah. The Democrat debates, I still refuse to call it the Democratic because I don't like giving them the...
They're not very Democratic.
There's not much democracy.
Yeah, there's not much democracy in the Democrat Party. Well, so I will call them Democrats, but I will not call them Democratic.
Hence why they have superdelegates, because they don't trust their own primary voters enough. So last night, there was this debate in Atlanta with the Democrats. They're back on stage again. The clown show is back on stage. They're all the band's getting back together again. And really,
did they all get out of one car?
They all drove their own limos that they took from the airport where they flew their private jets to come talk to us about the climate change.
They rode giant elephants in. It was just a circus, anyway. And so Joe Biden still can't finish the sentence. We found this out again last night. He still can't finish the sentence. Kamala Harris is still very annoying. Tulsi's awesome, but I would never vote for her, but I do like her. Anyway, and Pete Buttigieg is, Elizabeth Warren wants, and Bernie Sanders hate the wealthy. We get it by now. And who am I forgetting of the anybody that matters, basically?
Oh, what's her name?
Amy Klobuchar. Klobuchar, Booker were actually, in my opinion, the two. Again, put on the analyst hat because I can't see any of them. But Amy Klobuchar and Cory Booker did very good last night. They were the only two that stuck out to me that whole debate. Everywhere else is just...
And then you had Andrew Yang, who spoke for about a minute and a half.
Always makes the most of his time, though. The guy is really likable. He's a likable guy, Andrew Yang.
He didn't have any words for 35 minutes.
No, poor guy.
I love
his math. He's got the math, lapel on his jacket or whatever. It's really funny. But he won't wear a tie. That's always the same, too. But anyway, so Biden, he goes up there and he's... stumbles around again, and he says he is a member of he comes from the African-American community. It's like, dude, I'm like, I almost did a spit take. I had my pop, or excuse me, soda, we call it down here now. I was like, did he really just say what I think he just said? And everybody else caught it. And then to make things worse, he goes, yes, and I had the endorsement. I had the endorsement, the only African-American senator of all time. I forgot her name. Braun, I think her name was. Senator Braun.
He didn't say.
Yeah.
He
said, well, no, but I'm just saying to fill in the blanks.
He was assuming that we knew who he was talking about.
And Kamala Harris is perfect. Kamala Harris is sitting right next to him, who's an African-American woman, and she's a United States senator, and she's like, No, I didn't endorse you. I'm right here. It's like, so just stuff like that. He keeps making mistakes. You know, it's fun to laugh about, but this is still the front runner at this point of the Dem. He is still leading all the national polls.
Let him lead him.
Yeah, but I was like, it's like sometimes I'm watching. I'm like, dude, I'm like rooting for the guy. Like, finish it. You can do it. It's like, and like, it's scary to think though. I mean, in a horrible world, he might end up president, and he can't even finish.
It's like when you watch an old man try to make it up a flight of stairs. Like, you're proud of him when he gets to the top. You feel bad for him when he stumbles and can't do it.
I would feel bad for him, except it might be president.
Yeah, then you try to make the old man who can't get to the top of the stairs the president of the United States. Then we run into a problem.
I don't think he's going to win, but geez, you know, what if he did? Then we got this guy in there. Doesn't even know where he is half the time.
There was a article going around the other day about, you know, we have an age requirement for the presidency, which is 35. They're talking about maybe instituting an age limit. That makes sense. It kind of makes sense.
Trump is still with it, but not the percentage of that happening is not very. And we don't know. I mean, his second term, he very might well start, you know, slipping a little bit.
You never know.
Yeah, but right now he's good. But I was just talking about somebody last night. It was like, how is Trump only a couple years younger than these guys? But yeah,
he seems a lot younger.
Biden and Bernie are clearly their age.
Yeah, they look every day of their age, not more.
Bernie just had a heart scare there, the hospital scare recently. So he's still up there, wants to steal everybody else's money, but
it's just so.
Who paid for his health care when he went to the hospital? Probably him with his millions of dollars.
Here's why Kamala Harris isn't going to win. I just watched the exchange between her and Tulsi, where she kind of attacked her for being on Fox News.
Yeah, no love lost between those two.
But here's what I noticed afterwards is while they kept the camera on Kamala DeVille. Kamala DeVille.
Yes. I just came up with that on the spot.
Kamala DeVille. If she don't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh, because she's getting
it. Oh, that's great. Yeah, Kamala DeVille. Even though kind of Tulsi kind of looks more like
Cruella
with the gray streak. But that's neither here nor there. When Tulsi was responding to Kamala's attacks, they kept the camera on Kamala. And her smug look on her face is just so unlikable. Mm-hmm. She's just an unlikable, like, and this wasn't even as a conservative. This was just me looking for.
But it matters in politics, whether you think it should or not, it does. I mean, Hillary Clinton, the classic example of that. People just didn't like her.
Yeah, and
it matters.
Kamala is the same way. I looked at her when I was watching her, and she was just, like, you know, America doesn't like, we really don't like smugness unless it's smugness, like, with a rib to the elbow.
Yeah,
like
if it's not tongue-in-cheek, if it's not tongue-in-cheek, come across prideful and condescending.
Right.
Maybe that's why we like Trump, because he's like, I'm rich. I know. I'm awesome.
But he does it with that jovial. There's a pinch of humor to it.
Like, he knows he's over the top.
He makes outrageous claims because he knows they're funny, and he does like most of them. He doesn't expect you to take them seriously.
I mean, he's basically got a character, the Donald.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, see, that's kind of what that's his problem. Anyway, but not to get on the Trump. But
looking at Kamala, I was watching her. She's like, she just looked very smug, and it was like, it was a terrible look. It really was.
So also something, so they did get into some substance. You know, obviously they started off with, you know, attacking Trump, as you do, as a Democrat.
Yeah, because.
As you do, but.
Poor Ryan must have been out of energy by that point after watching the impeachment.
It was a long day. It was a long day, but I do like my job. But anyway, so basically they get up there and they're talking about abortion. And that kind of didn't get played a lot. It's so amazing how far left they've gone on abortion, because I believe it was Bernie Sanders said abortion rights are human rights and economic rights or something, which I had no idea what he was even talking about.
Well, there is some when it comes to. Let me make the.
Yeah, I want to hear the counter.
So, have you ever read or seen the documentary? Either read the book or seen the documentary Freakonomics.
I've read both.
Both.
I've read the book.
Do you remember what they said about abortion?
It's a pretty good podcast too. No, I've
when abortion after Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. after abortion became federally decriminalized, the criminal, the crime rate for the country dropped.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah.
So there is an economical...
A right? What are economic...
But it's not rights? A right. I can understand the economical...
Well, we got to define reasons. What a right is. And that, I hear Bernie throw this out all the time. There's a right, a human right. Healthcare is a human right. No, it's a service. A very important service. Yeah. But it still requires, at a point of gunpoint, if you to force somebody to do an operation.
Right.
That's not a human right. And Bernie keeps doing that over and over again. And with the abortion thing, they all... Again... If you don't support, even, you know, providing funding to Planned Parenthood, you hate women, apparently. Like, it's just stupid.
And it's not... You see what they keep doing? They keep throwing around the word right, because everyone wants to protect their rights. Obviously, you should. So they're just redefining anything they want to protect as a right. Like housing, food, healthcare. Mm-hmm. These are not rights. These are resources and benefits. And there's a compelling case to be made of... Yeah, let's try to make these things more available to people. So, like, it's ridiculous that people don't have food in the United States, but that's not to say the government needs to come in and regulate food distribution.
And like,
it's not a right. It's something that we share with
people. And I would like to ask those candidates on say, especially Bernie, so what about the right of the unborn? Is that not a
right? Well, that's what it
comes... If we don't protect life, and it doesn't matter where the life is, if it's in a cave or it's in a woman's womb, it doesn't matter. That then what is the point of having the government? I mean, that's all. I mean, in the American understanding, is to protect life, liberty, and property, or pursue, you know, it's
right.
Really meant property. It's, so
it's very true.
Why do we even have a government?
And also, you notice how within the last couple months it's changed from... They're not saying abortion is a women's right anymore. Abortion is a human right, because... Yeah. They can't define what a woman is anymore.
Can they say men can have abortions too? Because apparently they can have menstrual cycles.
Oh, God.
They just keep changing definitions, and now nobody knows what we're talking about anymore.
Left, by the way, if I say this cup's a lamp, it doesn't mean it's a lamp.
It's a lamp all you want. It's not going to light up a room.
It's not going to light up a room. It's going to hold water or whatever liquid I put in it. Or actually, it can hold whatever will fit in it. But... It's never going to light up a room.
You could even fit a lamp in there if you got a small one.
But it's changing words, the definitions of words, does not change what the reality is. Perception is reality.
Perception is how we interpret reality. Perception is not necessarily reality.
It's a mass interpretation.
Yes.
This is a pen because the three of us say it's a pen.
Mm-hmm.
If I start saying... this is a dingle hopper. You guys are going to look at me like you're looking at me right now. I'm crazy.
But if 2 million people suddenly call that a dingle hopper, then congratulations. You have yourself a nice blue dingle hopper right there.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going all philosophical in here right now. There's a lot of philosophical discussions.
I could go down this rabbit hole forever because it's a big literature thing and everything. I can go off on it forever. But basically, you can't keep changing the definitions of words because our collective society is built around... agreed upon definitions of things.
What did Orwell say in 1984? What did he call that?
Newspeak. They cut out unnecessary words, and the secret intention of that is to regulate thoughts. Because if you can't think in the words of resistance, then you can't act on resistance.
And they think that we are the ones that are guilty of that. Yes. It's like two different realities. It's hard to grasp the idea that we see each other as the bad element, but the right isn't changing words.
No,
we're not changing definitions. We're not saying a man is a woman. We're not saying a man can have menstrual cycles. We're not saying, you know, we're not doing that. We're not trying to control your thought or your speech.
And okay, because exactly, we're not controlling them, because if you want to call that pen a dingle hopper, no one's going to stop you from doing that. It's when you suddenly expect the rest of us to just get on board with calling it that because you have decided, oh, this isn't a pen anymore.
That's right. My biggest problem with the transgender argument.
We see it as a pen.
Yeah.
It's a pen. The definition of a pen is exactly that.
Just because you're a guy and you claim to be a girl and I don't call you that by the right pronoun doesn't mean I hate you either. I'm not a hater.
It just means I did not know. I genuinely did not know.
Like, well, so I'm saying, like, it's like, I just, and they get so upset. Again, they, anyway,
that's a conversation for another
Right, day. To close out the debate coverage, again, Klobuchar was very good. Cory Booker had one very good message, but it'll never play, unfortunately, today's Democratic Party. He actually talked about growing wealth and opportunity instead of just talking about how can we raise more tax revenue and all this stuff. It's unfortunate that stuck out to me because that should be a very American message. But in today's Democratic field, it stuck out. I think he could make some traction though if he would keep to it, but I don't think
he it's too far. It's too far center.
No, in a general election, that'd be a great message. But yeah.
And you see, like, the centrist on the left right now are still ridiculously far to the left.
Right, and I said that in my article today. Yeah. I was like, it still doesn't mean they're center.
Like, they're far left, like, compared to Bernie, but they're still far removed from the exact center point between
Biden is the closest thing.
And he's really not even all that close.
And he's still he's an Obamacare guy. You know, he's definitely.
Well, he wants to tie himself to Obama bad.
Yeah, but he comes from the black community too.
Obama kind of seems to be slowly.
Wait, did he just tell Deval Patrick to run? That's what they're reporting is that Obama told Deval Patrick, who just got in the race, former. Is he still governor of Massachusetts?
Either former. But I do know that they had to cancel a. One of his events at a college because nobody showed up.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was last night's debate. Nothing happened that's going to change.
So it's another, none of this matters. Nothing's going to matter till about May.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know how, well, it'll be there before the caucus start in February. You're talking about for the Democrats. Yeah. But honestly, how many people were watching the debate last night, especially after watching impeachment hearings all night?
It kind of seems like right now, with these debates, Biden's pretty much firmly at the front. Everybody else is just kind of jostling for second place. And yeah, maybe Warren is passing him in certain polls and Buttigieg is creeping up in different areas, but it seems like common perception is, you know, Biden's going to be it for the foreseeable future.
I think he'll lose Iowa probably, and he might lose New Hampshire, but then he gets in his sweet spot with South Carolina and the rest of the states after that. He's all joking aside about him being from Africa. He's actually very popular, probably maybe because he was vice president for Obama with the African Americans. South Carolina has a huge African American population.
Yeah, well, but then again, Trump has done more than Obama, and in 3.5 years or 2.5 years, whatever, Trump has done more for the African American community than Obama did in 8.
Well, they're doing the best they've done economically, at least as far as employment goes.
Employment, the First Step Act, there's a lot of things. He's also given $100 million to, is it $100 million or $100 billion? I can't remember. I think it's $100 million to inner city.
I'm sure it was $100 million.
Yeah, $100 million. Yeah, he's done a lot. And not to mention, before we sign off, there's one important thing we need to mention right here and right now. Do you know how much offensive military aid Obama gave Ukraine, who was invaded by Russia during his administration?
I think it was like $100 million.
It's $0.
Oh, but military?
Yes.
Is that true?
That's true.
I mean, I know I'd have to look in that. I know they gave some stuff. I don't think it was just blankets. I think it was more than that. Because they were talking about, anyway, not enough, regardless.
Right.
And Trump has actually given.
And Trump has supported. Actually given if actual money.
Right.
And yet they accuse him of being a Russian operative.
Right.
He's been tough on Russia. But.
All right. If you like what you heard, please comment below. What do you think as far as Sondland's concerned? Did you see the two different sides or did you only see it one way? Please comment below. As far as the debates, who do you think stood out to you if you watched them? You probably didn't because you're smart and
you had better things to
do. Hey, what do you say about people that watch them?
You had to wash your hair or maybe do some laundry because you had better things to do.
You do laundry, but you can just turn the volume up. I did last night.
Yeah, but you know, you do it because you have to do it.
I mean, I do it.
You get paid to talk about it.
You get paid to talk about it. So
it's a good gig.
The people that watch this video probably don't. But if you did, please comment below. Also, like the video, share it, subscribe if you haven't. Also, hit the notifications button. That way you know when a new episode comes out. And finally, if you want to get into our heads a little bit deeper, please go to...
Scary place, but sometimes...
It's a scary place up here.
Sometimes there's a gem that pops out. Yeah.
Please go to freedomwire.com. And if you want to buy any of our gear, it's there as well. Find the store tab at the top of the page and go ahead and shop around. Other than that, I think that's it for today. You got anything else, gentlemen?
We are all set.
Well, just remember Epstein didn't kill himself, and have a good night.
Till next time, stay free, America.